I'm Marco Werman. This is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. It was 6 months ago today that an earthquake devastated Haiti. The quake killed more than 200,000 people in the Caribbean nation. It left 1.5 million homeless. And it destroyed most of the Haitian capital, Port-au-Prince. Hundreds of thousands of people are still living in tent cities in Haiti. Today, the United Nations and other aid agencies made an appeal. They urged the world to remember Haiti and to maintain financial support for its long-term reconstruction. The World's Amy Bracken is just back from Haiti. 6 months after the earthquake, Amy, what has changed?
Shockingly little. I've been comparing a lot of things to March when I was last there, and I couldn't believe that the camps seemed to be bursting at the seams still, some of them more crowded than they had been previously, more people living in the streets. People had sort of established themselves more in the streets, and just the clearing out and rebuilding seemed to be slow and invisible in a lot of places. I mean, you could drive around Port-au-Prince all day and not see a single truck removing rubble.
Well, the story of rubble is kind of a barometer for how everything is going in Port-au-Prince, and the story of rubble is your story today, Amy. So let's listen to your report.
This is Champ de Mars, Port-au-Prince's main square-turned-tent camp. Things look a lot like they did a few weeks after the earthquake struck. More than 20,000 people continue to live here, huddled in tents and makeshift huts. One resident, Raymond Alcena, says there are two differences, but they're not positive ones.
Since the state stopped aid from coming in, we have less of a chance. There aren't people helping us anymore, and these days it's raining a lot. We're in misery. We're in mud. People get wet inside their homes. Your radio gets wet. All your stuff gets wet. This is misery we are living in.
In late March, the Haitian government and international organizations ended large-scale food distributions to avoid harming the local economy. Camp residents say they want more than ever to return home. Many of those sleeping in the Champ de Mars come from the Fort National neighborhood, and some have been hired to remove the mountain of rubble that's been keeping them out. On this hillside community, local crews are filling wheelbarrows using shovels in their hands. And they're still finding bodies every day. Backhoes have finally begun to aid in the clearing effort, but bringing vehicles in here has been a challenge. Like much of Port-au-Prince, Fort National is a crowded slum, with nothing but narrow footpaths connecting many of their buildings. So the backhoes literally have to drive over destroyed homes in order to get deep into the neighborhood.
This reconstruction rehabilitation phase is going to last at least 10 years, or between 10 and 20 years, it's true.
Chiara Vaccaro is with the U.S. Agency for International Development. She's an architect leading a team of engineers assessing buildings across Port-au-Prince. They're determining if the building should be repaired or demolished. Vaccaro says the international response in Haiti has been enormous, but so are the challenges.
There is no zoning, no urban planning in the city. So it's very difficult to go through each house and report the GPS documentation and the name of the household and the property. It's really a huge work, what we all are doing.
Vaccaro's group is working primarily in slums, where property ownership is often unclear. So far, they've managed to assess about 42,000 homes. Once that phase is done, the demolition will begin. And that will create even more rubble.
We estimate that the 20 million cubic meters that need to be removed, whether it's public or private land, will fill about 8,000 swimming pools and will cost over $500 million to remove.
That's Sylvain Merlin, who's overseeing debris removal for the UN. He's talking about 8,000 Olympic swimming pools. And about the estimated $500 million removal cost? Merlin says when the Haitian government submitted a request for international funding, it neglected to mention debris removal. So he's working without a dedicated budget.
A lot of Haitians have actually taken a lot of enthusiasm in moving the debris. But most of the time, the debris went as far as a wheelbarrow can carry. So there's no time and no funds spent on heavier equipment.
Merlin says some trucks have been brought in, but not enough. And then there's the issue of where to put the debris.
The most important bottleneck is that there is no land that has been clearly designated for debris storage and processing.
What all this means is an enormous delay in clearing enough land to rebuild. Timo Lüge is the spokesman for the coalition of organizations trying to get people into transitional shelters, houses made of wood and metal. Lüge says there are plans to build 125,000 homes, but so far only 3,200 have been built. The problem is there's nowhere to put the housing. At a Red Cross warehouse on the edge of town, trucks are bringing in transitional housing kits, mostly bundles of 2x4s, at a rate of 800 a week. There they sit until land becomes available. Red Cross employee Valerie Verostrata is negotiating access to land in Cité Soleil, where the group hopes to house more than 500 families.
We are dealing with the mayors, which is a very complicated issue, because each community has three mayors. There is a principal mayor and then two other mayors, and not all the time they are on the same line. So it's a complicated issue.
Everything here is a complicated issue. If there is a silver lining, it can be found in the thousands of people employed in this whole messy process of cleanup and reconstruction. The longer it takes, the longer they have jobs to support their families, even as they live in tents among the rubble.
The World's Amy Bracken reporting there from Port-au-Prince, where you were recently. The final point you made there about the silver lining with the rubble removal, it is employing lots of people, but like everything in Haiti, it's got to be a complicated silver lining.
It's very complicated. I spent some time with people who are in what's called a cash for work program, and these are funded by USAID and UN organizations and some other non-governmental organizations. And the idea is to keep people employed, and a side effect of it is that they're also cleaning up some of the rubble, but it's extremely slow. So by design, these programs don't involve a lot of heavy machinery. They involve big groups of people assisting one another, picking up rubble with their hands, sometimes shovels, using small wheelbarrows. And so people are very happy to have jobs, those who do have jobs. But in a lot of cases, they're back in their old neighborhoods, and they're very slowly cleaning out their old neighborhoods. They'd really like to move back into their old neighborhoods more quickly. So there are these sort of two currents going on, and I'm not sure if there's a way of really sort of resolving this, keeping people employed as long as possible while getting them back into their communities very quickly. But it's very challenging work. And I spoke with some people who are picking up bodies every day. They said they're finding bodies every day. And a lot of them are people they knew. They're their neighbors. And so it's a very emotional process. And also it's very time consuming, because then they have to stop the work that they're doing. They have to identify the body. Somebody, a municipal worker, has to come in and take away the body. And so it's difficult. It's tedious. It's sort of backbreaking work. But they do want to move back into their neighborhoods as quickly as possible.
Finally, Amy, don't the city and national authorities in Haiti have bulldozers that can help out with the manual job of clearing rubble?
There are bulldozers, there are trucks, but I'm told it's just not nearly enough. And people are waiting for funds to come through. There's been $1.5 million pledged by the Canadian government to go to debris removal. But then there's also the question of whether and when that money is actually going to come through. Apparently, only about 10% of the billions of dollars that have been pledged by the international community has been dispersed so far.
The World's Amy Bracken, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Amy's photographs of the efforts to move the rubble out of Port-au-Prince are at theworld.org.